And now, the tradition continues as WABC presents John Gambling with the mayor of the greatest city in the world, Mike Bloomberg.
Here we go again. Can't believe it's Friday already. Mr. Mayor, good
morning. Happens every 7 days.
It does. It's every 7 days. That's it. Like this when you're having a good time.
Well, yeah.
Did yours go like this week? Were you having a good time?
Yeah, it was a busy week, but a good week.
Yeah, you were out in Chicago.
Was that in Chicago?
We'll get into that a little bit later on.
You know, I visited a firefighter yesterday in the hospital, actually a captain in the fire department who burned his hand, probably needs some skin grafts, but turns out he was okay, so that was not as sad as it could have been. I was last night at the hospital visiting a police officer who was shot. He comes out of his office. He's a recruiter for the police department sergeant. And in walking down the street, he sees somebody kneeling and somebody over him with a .40 caliber gun, pointing the gun at him. The guy kneeling saying, "Please don't shoot me." The sergeant identifies himself as a police officer. And the guy turns and shoots. Fortunately, the sergeant got his gun out and shot the perpetrator. Sergeant got hit twice, but no bones or vital organs struck. So sad, but at least not tragic, although it's another example of guns on the street. You know,
guns
on
the
same
street
thing.
And our police officers having to make decisions that you and I probably would be unable to make.
Unable, and they've got to make it right away, right. Instantly. And their lives are dependent on it. You know, when you do a simulation, there are simulators of you're playing that you're a police officer and all of a sudden a presentation's made on a screen right in front of you. You got to decide life or death. Is it a child with a toy cap pistol or is it a short adult with a gun ready to kill you? And you've got a spouse and children at home and you like life and you got to make a decision and you got to do what's right. And then this morning I just went up to a Jacoby Hospital to visit three police officers. This could have been tragic as well, fortunately not two, stop a car that had been stolen at gunpoint, I think yesterday, walking up behind it. The driver, the guy who I assume the one that had stolen the car, slams the car in reverse and tries to hit all three police officers. It was a young woman, a police officer, 8 years on the job, Fanny Ortiz, who now has three broken bones in her leg, but she'll be okay. She had great spirits. She's a runner. She wasn't going to run the marathon, but she said she was getting ready to do a 5K. I said, well, your running career probably is going to be postponed for a few months. But she had a great attitude and comes from the Bronx and loves
They must appreciate you coming up.
Yeah, they do. And then the other two officers that were there, one who had been injured slightly, police officer Samuel Castro, and the sergeant, Edward Warren, the sergeant jumped to the side and shot
the driver.
They've recovered a couple of guns, and driver won't make
it. Let's talk about the gun thing, because you were in Chicago with Richard Daley and other mayors. How many other mayors were there?
There are half a dozen from the local area. And actually, the day before, in a suburb of Chicago, a place called Mayhew, there was an execution-style murder of a cop.
They just came up to the cop.
And absolutely. I played telephone tag with the mayor, and we've talked to his staff and, you know, say, look, I'm sorry. But it's just a terrible thing. The bottom line
You slammed Congress pretty hard.
Because what Congress is doing is passing laws or trying to pass laws that protect criminals and have absolutely nothing to do. Maywood was the town. Maywood, my ace press secretary, corrected me. What did I say? Something close.
Mayhew.
Maywood. Office is just dead. You know, great tragedy. I mean, this is a guy who wanted to get home to his wife and kids, trying to protect people, and just gets shot. Congress is passing laws that deliberately are designed to protect criminals. They have nothing to do with the Second Amendment. They have nothing to do with your right to go and hunt. They are deliberately designed to protect criminals who want to buy guns and use them on the streets to kill your children and your grandchildren and mine. And there's just no question. You can't sugarcoat this. These laws are so crafted that there's just no possibility that you could attribute any motive to them other than we're going to protect the criminals because that's what the NRA tells us to do. And we want them to, the NRA, to support our campaigns, give us money, and not support our
opponent. Why does this get no traction around the country? gets very little traction.
Which gets very little traction? The NRA has enormous traction.
No. I'm talking about the Congress passing laws.
It's typical. It happens all the time. When you have an advocacy group for one issue, they're focused. They keep saying, this is our litmus test. The public has a lot of things they want. They want peace and prosperity and rights and lots of different things, and they tend not to vote on any one issue. So you could vote against them on this as long as you're with them on something else, or they don't really focus on what you vote for. They just like your campaign ads. He seems like a nice person. I'm going to vote for him. But what we've got to do, and I think we're making a lot of progress. We started out trying to get 15 mayors. We're now up to 109 mayors. A bunch of them, roughly half, are from the west of the Mississippi. Roughly half are south of the Mason-Dixon line. They're big cities in lots of states where the right to bear arms is really important to people. And nobody's trying to take away your right to bear arms. If you go into a store, gun store, and fudge your background or there's no background check, and you buy 30 guns, you can't tell me that you're going to use them personally to go and protect yourself or hunt. There's only one reason you'd buy 30 guns, all of the same kind. So don't tell me you're a collector. If you want to collect that way, buy the gun company, because you'll never be able to corner the market unless you do.
You think you're making any headway with Congress, with individuals?
There is just no question. People are starting to notice. I mean, these mayors that have signed up represent 42 million people. And, every story, like this Maywood tragedy, or like what could have been a tragedy last night or this morning here in New York City, they start getting people thinking, and the public is just not going to stand around forever and allow this. And Congress just keeps trying to pass these laws. The one lesson, if there was a single lesson out of 9/11, it was that the law enforcement agencies should share information. Remember, that was the big question or criticism. I don't know how founded it was, but we've got to share information. We've got to share information from around the world, from one state, city, federal, across agencies, whatever. These laws actually make it a crime for police, law enforcement agencies to share information about guns. We ban things. We put restrictions on things. We make manufacturers liable on lots of things. The only product in the whole country where we protect everybody, you can't do any wrong with it. It's guns. I was in Harrisburg with the mayor of Philadelphia, John Street, and he brought up his minister. And I thought, I don't know what this guy's going to talk about. The minister was very smart. He said, we had an E. coli bacteria scare that with spinach. One person, two people died, 100, 200 people got sick. In 2 days, we identified the source, and we took it off the shelves of every supermarket in the country. 30,000 people get killed every year with guns, and we can't do anything, and it's because of Congress that prevents it. Now, Congress and the NRA says, you need local laws. We have local laws. We brought crime down in this city to levels that nobody ever expected. Nobody dreamed that we could achieve, and we're bringing them down even further. Crime in this city is down another 5%. If it wasn't for some reclassifications, murders would be down again. But the bottom line is our guns come from out of state. It's a cross-state line problem. It's a problem that Congress has got to fix. And I don't know that we mayors say, we'll fix it if Congress doesn't. We can't fix it, but we can make sure the public holds them responsible. And the next time there is somebody that is killed in the district of one of these congressmen or senators who voted with the NRA, you can rest assured the public's going to start saying, wait a second, you voted to make sure that that criminal that shot my neighbor's kid or my kid was protected. You want to explain that to me one more time? That's the end, because that's what the NRA does on the other side. You got to be single-issue focused, and this is such a big issue. So many people are killed in America by illegal guns, not regular guns. The chances of you using a gun to protect yourself, if you have a gun at home, is 1/100th or something like that, 1/25th of the chances of the gun being used by a domestic person in your household, spouse, you, child.
All the time. Children picking up.
Accidents. I think it's it's crazy to have a gun at home. But this is not even about, if you have a license, you can have a gun at home. This is not about that. It's not about hunting.
Just the illegal guns.
And that Congress is fighting.
and we need to do something about it. Good for you. Keep after them. I need to do something. I'm a little late in our game here. So let's get to our break. We'll come right back with Mayor Michael Bloomberg at 77 WABC. With you and Mayor Michael Bloomberg at 77 WABC. Mr. Mayor, you've brought along a guest.
Well, because this coming week, there's, I guess, like the other 51 weeks in the year, but this week in particular, the arts are starring. Next Thursday, we have the Latin Grammys here, Madison Square Garden. You can still get tickets. It will be fun, good music, probably loud.
I was going to say loud and rocking.
And rocking. Yeah, people will have a great time. But Latin Grammys Thursday at Madison Square Garden. But also, next week is one part of a very long celebration of the 30th anniversary of our city's Department of Cultural Affairs. Now, you say cultural affairs. Does this city have anything?
Let me, from memory,
try to come up with some numbers. Like, the city has roughly 500 art galleries, 375 nonprofit theater companies, 330 dance companies, 150 museums, 96 orchestras, 38 Broadway theaters, 24 performing arts centers, 7 botanical gardens, 5 zoos, and 1 aquarium. And the person that really makes all of them work, she feeds the fish and feeds the animals
bears, huh?
And cleans, makes sure the actors are in costume and say the right things.
A busy lady.
Our commissioner for the Department of Cultural Affairs, Kate Levin.
Good morning. I also dust the dioramas.
Well, that's good.
A lot of those things.
That's good. That's important that that's done.
There is a lot on your plate. Tell us what you really do from a coordination point of view of all of those things that the mayor ticked off.
Well, the city of New York is the biggest public funder of the arts in this country, which is something we're very proud of. We fund a lot of programs. We build a lot of buildings, make sure that they're safe and welcoming for the public, and this is a huge sector that impacts the city's tourism figures. At least 50% of the people who come here specifically for our cultural attractions, and it affects the quality of life in all of our boroughs. These are extraordinary organizations that give back to the city in many, many exciting ways.
I wouldn't have guessed that 50% number on the tourism.
No. Oh, yeah, people come here. I mean, the opening of MoMA with a new building was just a godsend for the gates in Central Park.
Yeah, I remember. I was going to mention that. That was
Last year, we had 42.7 million tourists. This year, we think we're going to have more.
Yep, absolutely. And, for example, one of the awards that you will be presenting on Monday, Mr. Mayor, is to an organization, the Louis Armstrong House, one of the greatest musicians of all time, settled in Corona, Queens in 1943, left his house to the city of New York. And it's an extraordinary place. He was given an early tape deck, taped hours and hours of conversations with his bandmates, his wife, spousal arguments, the whole nine yards. And this house has been programmed so that it's an extraordinary experience. It's a real window into U.S. history.
You can walk through it and hear Louis Armstrong.
Exactly.
Hear
yep.
Louis and his wife.
Arguing?
Bickering would be. Probably do that. But you'll notice that he came here. He waited to come to Queens until a year after I was born.
He knew what he was looking for.
Absolutely.
Well, it sounds exciting. Is there any special opportunity for New Yorkers to partake of this in the coming week?
Every single day in the city of New York, there are extraordinary numbers of opportunities. And my agency's website, there are lots of ways of finding something. But I would just say across the street from you, around the corner from you, in every single neighborhood of the city of New York, there's an extraordinary cultural organization waiting to do something phenomenal for you. A lot of them have programs that go well beyond the arts. There are healthcare programs, there are programs for immigrants, English language learners. So even if you're not there just for the Matisse, this is an extraordinary sector for the city.
That's a good question. How do I go about it? What's the how do I go to the cultural affairs website?
www.nyc.gov, and when you get there, look for the Department of Cultural Affairs.
Well, you and I experienced the Indian Museum downtown.
Absolutely,
a couple of weeks ago when we brought
great museum
there.
Great museum and a phenomenal building, and
one that I don't think a lot of people know about.
And that's one of the great buildings I would argue in New York.
It's really quite spectacular.
Yeah, I mean, when I've talked to Kate, and over the last 5 years we worked together and gone to different places, the diversity geographically, culturally, sophistication level of the arts in this city. They go from, street art where somebody's just a one-person show. I was going to say one-man show, but you don't say that in this day and age. A one-person show, particularly with Kate ready to bump me on top of the head. Presentations at the Met this year. They had a free concert for everybody, yep. And now they have low-cost tickets, $14, as I remember.
$15
tickets for every performance is some. So you can have the entire spectrum, from the classic arts to the more avant-garde, from cultures that you know about and grew up with, no matter where you come from in the world, to cultures that you'd never heard of before.
Sounds great to me, and you're obviously a busy lady. Thank you for spending some time with us.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Kate. Appreciate that. Commissioner of Cultural Affairs, Kate Levin. We have to take another break. We'll be back with Mayor Michael Bloomberg in just a moment at 77 WABC. All right, John Gambling here with you and Mayor Michael Bloomberg at 77 WABC. As always, you'll get a chance to ask the mayor a question at the end of the program. 1-800-848-WABC, 1-800-848-WABC. Get in the queue. What do you make of the Allen Hevesy situation?
Well, I think it's very sad because Allen Hevesy, and I think most people would agree with this, he has done a good job as controller for the last 5 years. And when you have somebody good, it's a shame if they can't continue. I think this lapse in judgment, however you want to phrase it, it's been judged by the Ethics Commission. They've made a recommendation to the legislature and the governor. I'll let them – I don't need to add pour kerosene on the fire, but it is a shame. That it happened.
It certainly is interesting to watch all the machinations when something like this does indeed go up in flames.
I mean, but having said that, I do think that if there is a need for to pick a new controller, the public should do that. Now, the law may not permit that. There's an issue of could Allen, if he wanted to, get off the ballot, and I don't know if he wants to. There's an issue of if he resigns and gets elected, is he in office and does he have to resign twice? The law, I believe, lets the combined state and assembly and Senate together pick a replacement, although that gets down to really one person probably picking because that's just the way legislatures work. This is a very important office, and whoever is in it, whether it's Allen Hevesy or somebody else, should be selected by the voters in a statewide election.
Do you know one of the most stunning things that I read in the last week over this whole thing is that this is the first time that the Ethics Commission has ever censured anybody in the state of New York? It seems hard to believe.
No. Why do you think that's hard to believe?
Because there have been a few people that have probably needed to be censured.
Let me ask you this. Knowing what goes on, you really want to say it's hard to believe?
Well, no, but I mean, a reasonable person would look at an ethics commission and think that they might have looked at somebody in the past. Be that as it may, we'll let that go.
Let's say this will all play out, and all I can say is it's sad.
Down to the World Trade Center, the search continues. Is that correct for remains?
Search continues. There's no search going on the site. The site was extensively and completely searched. I think if you go back, it's very hard to criticize anything that was done. Every bit of care that could possibly be taken was taken. In terms of trying to find remains, do it as expeditiously as possible, but consistent with safety for the workers and care. Where this construction going, there's no reason to stop. It's been cleaned. There's no chance for anything else, and we'll go and we have to build for the future. The place that we found some remains, and it was really so far only one manhole, was in an abandoned manhole, which is why nobody's looked at it in 5 years. And there are some other abandoned manholes and service boxes. Manholes are for Con Ed, service boxes, I think, are for Verizon or the telephone companies. It was covered over, and they built a road. Best recollections are they built that road so they could get the cranes in to recover the remains on the site. And then for some reason or other, the road was not dug up. Now, the fill that was used to create the road, we'll test all of that. The other manholes and service areas, we'll look in to, I think, the...
They have not been opened up.
There were a couple more, and we didn't find anything.
Okay.
We're trying to take care to make sure that the workers are protected. This is a... Every place in the world has things in the air. It's a question of level, and we want to make sure that the levels aren't are that we take the right care with the workers for whatever the levels are, whether it's asbestos or anything else in the air. And that's why it's going slowly. And at this point, I think we can afford to take the time. It's not holding anything up. And the families, you know, for 5 years, I think they'd just be happy if we did find something, even if it took an extra month, which wasn't really the case at the beginning. But so far, we've not found any remains elsewhere. And Ed Schuyler, the deputy mayor, is coordinating. And we've got an enormous cooperation in working together, police, fire, port authority, all the other city and state agencies.
Con Ed, Verizon.
Con Ed, Verizon, Office of the Medical Examiner has the real expertise here, Department of Health and Mental Hygiene, Transportation, State Environmental Protection, City Environmental Protection, you know, right down the list. Everybody has worked very carefully and 100% cooperation.
Did I understand correctly that the remains that you have found, I think the number I saw was somewhere in the vicinity of 200, all have come from one
location? I believe that's the case. They've all come from one location so far. Now, we haven't been into every other location, so I don't know. But, you know, why that one location? It was a sealed manhole. Maybe the cover got blown off, remains went in, or maybe it came in through the side. There was another hole, which then got covered over in the heat of trying to get the heavy equipment in so that they could recover. I mean, listen, that's what they should have done is, you know, but I think they probably should have gone back. Obviously should have gone back. Why didn't they? You know, this is – you're talking about 16
acres. I don't think
anybody
criticized anybody. I mean, there was some noise in the beginning from some of
the
families.
Well, as New York is always criticism. Right. And, you know, part of the criticism comes from – you can understand the emotions of of family members. But the bottom line is the real world is you have to work and keep looking. What gives me some comfort in all of this is – that it was the fire department that really, in case of these buildings, somebody said, well, these couple of these buildings haven't been searched, or roofs or whatever. The fire department, who lost 343 people and really had their heart and soul in it, police, the 40-odd people, 20 Port Authority and city, you know, they looked and they did the best job they can. Can you keep looking forever? I suppose there's no limit, but you have to do what's reasonable and what's right, and I think they did it before. We've discovered another place to look. We'll do that. If 2 years from now somebody were to come up with an idea of, you know, something blown someplace or whatever, we'll look at it then. Yeah.
Another report of a unfortunately 2-year-old that died. ACS is looking into it. It's a family over in Brooklyn that had lost a child, I think, in 2000, years ago. What do you know about this? And is ACS concerned that something didn't go right here?
Well, I mean, in retrospect, you know, you should have made different. Look, ACS and the courts and these service agencies all have to make decisions. And every once in a while, it's going to turn out that they should have zigged when they zagged or zagged when they zigged. In this case, the agency that is supervising is one of the best we have. The judge is, I've asked about the judge, has a stellar reputation. Tough thing to be a judge. You got to make a decision. The DA looked at that case, decided there was no evidence or not enough evidence. I don't know.
That was the Leah Herzog in 2000.
Right. Children had been taken away but given back. I mean, in the end, you're talking about families that are very complicated. In this case of the family you're talking about, there were multiple parents. It's not just two parents. I think some of the kids had different fathers and comings and goings. The baby that died, ACS had no...
Preston Herzog.
Nobody knew the baby existed.
Oh,
the
really?
The father, if I remember the story from a couple days ago, the facts, the father showed up every time with the children because there's mandatory reporting after incidents, and the kids were fine, and the other kids, the older kids, were fine and didn't say anything. It turned out that the mother, unbeknownst to anybody outside the family, had another baby, and that was the baby. You know, you can look at me and say, hey, this is strange, but this is the real world. These families that ACS deals with have lots of problems. and helping them is not easy. And there's no for sure answer. You can't just say in every case, take the kids and put them in foster care, and that's not the right answer in every case. You can't say always leave them together. That's not the case. So what you want to make sure is that Children's Services, which was this particular agency, and the judge and the DA and ACS, and Homeless Services, all of these agencies work together, make sure you have good people, and then they've got to take some risks and make the best judgment they can. And people say, oh, you're risking lives. Yes, that's exactly what they do. It's like before you were talking about the police officer who has to make a decision, shoot or not. It's easy to second guess. But in this case, when I looked at it, the people involved all have stellar reputations, and they, in retrospect,
the unfortunate happened.
Yeah.
You've been very successful with the unions here in New York City in coming to agreements, except for one, the PBA.
No, we also don't have a contract yet with the principals and assistant principals.
But the PBA's contract was, as I understand it, from August of 2004 to July 2006. I think that's over, isn't it? That time
almost
period is passed.
It used to be the practice that every contract in the city was negotiated retroactively. For the first time in a very long time, I think the following be true, we have contracts that were negotiated before the old one lapsed, or roughly about the same time, not 2 years later.
Tough to get productivity gains.
It's very hard to get productivity gains retroactive. That's right. So we've done a pretty good job. And, you know, the unions, everybody'd like to get paid more, but the real test is when these contracts are negotiated, what percentage of the union membership votes yes. And when, you know, 80 or 90% vote yes, and I think that was the case, the last teachers contract, the last DC 37 contract, the last firefighters and fire officers contracts, lieutenants, and a whole bunch of these contracts were negotiated, sanitation, corrections. These contracts have been approved by a very large majority of the members, which means from their point of view, they think that they got a good deal. I think from the city's point of view, given the our interest in paying our employees more, but the reality of we don't want to pay any more taxes, we just want to have well-paid or workers who are focusing on their job rather than being upset, it's been a good balance. Both sides have won as much as you can when there's no one right answer.
All right. What do you say? Some phone calls when we come back.
Happy to do it.
1-800-848-WABC is our telephone number. If you've got a question for Mayor Michael Bloomberg, you will be next. We'll be right back. Carving out a couple of minutes for you to ask the mayor some questions. 1-800-848-WABC. We're going to start over in Brooklyn. And Daniel, you've got Mayor Michael Bloomberg. Daniel, go ahead.
Good morning, Mr. Mayor.
Good morning.
Last week on this show, you called three men in a room in Albany, undemocratic and unconstitutional, perhaps. And that same three men in a room will decide the fate of Atlantic Yards. And as you know, yesterday, I and others filed an eminent domain lawsuit to protect our constitutional rights. And you called us plaintiffs misguided, myopic, and selfish for trying to protect those rights. I'd like to ask you why you would call us that.
Well, number one, Daniel, the courts, I guess, will decide whether or not the suit that you filed has any merit. That's our system. And if the courts say you have merit, then you have recourse. And if the courts say you don't, they'll dismiss it. Our belief is that it is a frivolous lawsuit and there is no merit to it. But you'll have your day in court, and that's exactly what democracy should give you. In terms of the three men in a room, I'm a believer in letting all of the members of the legislature vote. You do have to have some leadership. You can't have everybody with their own bills. It's just not the way democracy works. It's too big. It's not a republic. We have a democracy. Eminent domain is one of those things that it does take away some people's rights, but there is a balance between individual rights and the rights of society. So we, for example, have laws that prohibit you from speeding, but we do it because it makes everybody safer. We have laws that force you sometimes to go to war clearly infringing on your civil rights. If ever a case, we're sending you to fight and perhaps die. But we all agree that we have to do that. We limit our freedom of speech. And there's no greater defender of the First Amendment than me, but it is inappropriate and should be prohibited from allowing you to somebody to stand up in a theater and as a joke scream fire, because people can get killed in the stampede on the way out. In the case of eminent domain, it is we have to keep changing our cities and build the infrastructure and have the jobs and the housing, and you can't just let one person stop all of that. I'm not in favor of when most people are against something doing it, but for example, the Nets development, which is what you're talking about, Daniel, out in Brooklyn, overwhelmingly favored by people in Brooklyn and throughout the city, and I think that's an appropriate thing. For use of government powers, a handful of people. I'm sorry for them, but they will get fairly compensated. But you can't just let any one person stop all development, and that's when eminent domain comes into play.
All right, next on the list here. Thank you, Daniel.
Why don't we talk to Gasper in Queens?
Gasper in Queens, you've got the mayor. Go ahead, keep it short if you would, please.
Yes, hello. Good morning. Pleasure to speak to you, sir. I was just wanted to talk to you about the gun laws that you're the new gun laws that you're. Getting together with all the mayors across the country, and I agree with it to a point, but what I want to know is what about the existing laws that are on the books now?
Okay, Gasper, because we're running out of time. Number one, we can't make laws. It's Congress can make them. What we're trying to do is stop Congress from passing laws that prohibit law enforcement agencies from sharing information. So we're not trying to get new laws at a federal level. At state levels, yes, some of us have advocated laws that limit the number of guns you can buy. It's almost laughable, but we're fighting to get a law in Pennsylvania, for example, that lets you only buy one gun a month. Now, if you and your spouse and your child each buy a gun a month, you bought 36 guns a year. I don't know what you're going to do with them, but you know, it's to prevent the guy who walks in, buys 30 guns, all of the same kind, enormous numbers of boxes of ammunition, and says, I'm a collector. What do you mean a collector? He's going out on the street, selling them out of the back of his car to people who could not buy guns legally otherwise. Why are they buying guns? They're buying guns to commit crimes. They're buying guns to perhaps kill you, me, or your children. So it's enforcing existing laws, and in a handful of cases, just rational things. Not Second Amendment taking it away, not prohibiting your right to own a firearm to hunt, just to shoot people.
All right, we got to go. We've used up all the time again. See you next Friday.
That was fun.
All right.
Look forward to it.
Mayor Michael Bloomberg at 77 WABC.